Welcome to Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church, where we worship God, make disciples of Jesus Christ, and serve our community and world. The following is a recorded message based on God's holy word. We would love to see you for our worship services on Sunday mornings. For more information, visit www.mattisav.org or call 217-355-5947. And may God bless you. Standing for our Old Testament reading from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 6 through 11. You can follow along on the slides behind me. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Please be seated. Our New Testament epistle passage today is from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 10 through 17. It can be found on page 918 in the Bibles provided underneath the seats in front of you. That's page 918, Romans 10. Beginning with verse 10. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. Our psalm reading is from Psalm 119, verses 169 through 176. It can be found on page 500. That's page 500, Psalm 119, beginning with verse 169. May my cry come before you, Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. May my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your promise. May my lips overflow with praise, for you teach me your decrees. May my tongue sing of your word, for all your commands are righteous. May your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, Lord, and your law gives me delight. Let me live that I may praise you, and may your laws sustain me. I have strayed like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I have not forgotten your commands. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Jenny. Yeah, you can take my sermon and preach it if you want. Well, good morning. That'd be a fun start to the sermon. Have someone random preach it. That'd be good. See how that would go. I hope you had a safe 4th of July and enjoyed watching fireworks. Hopefully somebody else spent the money on it, so you got to enjoy it too for free. Thank you for all of you that do that service to the rest of us. It does not go unnoticed. But I hope you had a safe 4th of July and hope you had a great time with family and friends as we celebrated the freedoms that we have here in this country. And may we continue, as Ron said in his prayer, to turn ourselves back to Jesus continually in this country and focus on Jesus throughout every bit of our life here in the United States and beyond. Well, as we dive into the word today, I want to remind us where we have been over the last month as we have been talking through our Free Methodist Way. Today we're talking about God-given revelation, and I'll talk about that in a minute, but I want to remind us where we've come from. We've talked about life-giving holiness, love-driven justice, Christ-compelled multiplication, and last week with Kay Stotz Godoy, one of our incredible missionaries, cross-cultural collaboration. And today we are talking through God-given revelation. Now, the reason we go through these Free Methodist ways, as many of you are members of this church, and a lot of times when people come and ask me, well, what's a Free Methodist? At least 5 or 6 years ago, it took me a little bit to explain it. Now, our bishops and leadership have used these five things to define who we are and how we describe ourselves to other people and set us apart distinctly from maybe other parts of Methodism as well. And so we're thankful to have these kind of aspects that isn't the absolute way that we follow perfectly to achieve, but it more defines who we are as a denomination and what we value. So we value holiness, we value discipleship, we value justice work in the bounds of the biblical justice. We value cross-cultural work and missions work. And I've said this before, the Free Methodist Church is over 10 times larger member-wise worldwide than it is in the United States. It's incredible. The newest missions handbook just kind of came out yesterday. I was reading it at my in-laws. They get an issue of it. And I was reading, just in Congo alone, there's 188,000 members. We have about 70,000 members in the U.S. today. So it more than double, just in one country of Congo that is smaller than the Midwest, right? And so it's quite staggering how the church worldwide is growing. So we're thankful for our missionaries like Kay, and I know I'm kind of off track here, but we're just so thankful for our missionaries that are constantly going into parts of the world where people are killed for their faith, where people are persecuted for their faith. And so just getting to hear stories from Kay of scratching the surface of the work that's being done in Latin America and really, truly, any missionary that we invite into here, and we'll be having the director of Free Methodist World Missions come, Jerry Coates. You may know that last name. I don't know if you've heard of that before. Herb's brother coming here in a little bit to speak as well. And so we're thankful for the work that God's been doing throughout our denomination, but also is just doing in the glory of the kingdom of God as a whole. So then we get to our final way, which you've probably heard Pastor Wick and others talk about this before. We're revisiting this, but God-given revelation. I'm going to read the definition from the Free Methodist Church in the FM Way book. This is from the page 145. It says, we hold unwaveringly to our conviction that the Bible is the inspired word of God and the final authority in all matters of faith and practice. drawing on our Wesleyan heritage of engaging with Scripture through the lens of tradition, reason, experience, we keep Scripture primary. That's the Wesleyan quadrilateral for those of you who have heard that. While the church will always be tasked with authentically communicating and applying biblical truths to the sensitivity to cultural dynamics, we do not subjugate the Bible's timeless truths to cultural norms or societal trends. The Free Methodist way is to align our lives fully and our movement on the unshakable foundation of God's word. Amen. We're thankful for that. We're thankful for the description. There's so much more just than this one paragraph that can be found in a book. If you go online and you see our brochures, there's tons of different aspects of this way. But truly, it's this, the foundation we hold ourselves to, that Scripture is our foundation for authentically living as Jesus did, staying true to the Father's promises, and one of the means by which the Holy Spirit speaks to us. If you notice, each way, each aspect of the FM way kind of builds upon each other. And Shelley and I were just talking this morning. Well, shouldn't this be the first thing that we talk about? Scripture should be one of the more important things. And it is. It should be. If we do not see Scripture through the lens of all four other things, then what's the point? God's word, God's revelation to us through Jesus Christ is a foundation for who we are, not just as Free Methodists, but as Christians. So I remember knowing and trying to learn the word of God early on in my life. Camp is a very important piece of my journey. About 15 years ago this week, I found Jesus in the middle of nowhere, Michigan, at this really gross-looking tabernacle thing that was run down, that was a camp that now you can buy for $100,000, by the way, if you're rich. All the buildings are condemned, so you can't go in them, so you'd have to figure that out. But 15 years ago, my uncle, he still does this today. They have a small church conference, the Church of God out of Findlay, Ohio, that he's a deacon in. And he invited me to come to camp, quite frankly, just because I needed something to do because my parents were going nuts. I was basically an only child growing up. I have a sister who's 11 years older than me. So as you know, I was bugging my parents for about 11 years by myself. And so I'd heard about all the fun pranks and things that they had done at camp. And so finally I said yes. And it ended up being one of the greatest decisions I ever made, because I was able to hear the word of God and know the word of God. And so for many years, I was going to this camp, and I was still in high school, and I learned all the ebbs and flows of camp, and a couple years into going, I found out that on Friday nights, that was the fun night. That was the night we'd play pranks on other people. That was the night we would really get to go deeper into our faith, too. But it was also the night that the counselors were supposed to buy us food. And so one year, we got through our final sessions and had really, really impactful time. That year, it was talking greatly about the Word of God and the impact it can have. They were teaching us often about how we could see God through the lens of Scripture and how we could pray through Scripture. So we got back to our cabin that night, awaiting pizza. There was no pizza. And if I could tell you to picture 20-plus teenage boys in high school promised pizza, not getting pizza, I'll just let you use your own inspiration and imagination. It was not pretty. So my uncle, who is the lead counselor, I gave him a nice talking to. And I said, so this is what we're supposed to do. He's like, I completely forgot. I'm sorry. You can go raid the kitchen. Well, the kitchen had leftover eggs and pickles. Not going to fly, Uncle Mike. And so we did what they taught us to do all week. We went to the Word. And we took Scripture out of context. Not my finest moment, but I was learning. I didn't know that I was supposed to be a pastor yet, so please forgive me. All right. We used a lot of verses out of context about eating and drinking unto the Lord and do it for the glory of God. And hey, Lazarus, wake up, drink and eat, all those things. I gave it back to my uncle. Didn't work. So finally, we stopped and we prayed together as a cabin. We asked that God would, I'm not proud of all these things. We would ask for a miracle, that God would provide food for us. So I knew my parents were staying 30 minutes away to pick me up the next day. So my friends were like, you just need to call them and ask them. So I asked my uncle if I could borrow his phone. He said, sure, whatever. I called my parents, and it's 11 o'clock at night at this point. I said, hey. My friends are like, be bold in your ask. I'm like, okay, sure. I was a good businessman, I guess. And I said, hey, could you bring us 20 cheeseburgers and 20 McChickens from McDonald's to camp? And my dad just hung up the phone instantly. That was who my dad was. I mean, he was a great guy, but he laughed and hung up the phone because he's a good Gen X dad, right? But then 5 minutes later, we were praying again. 5 minutes later, my mom said, okay, so how many do you want again? My mom has a soft heart and convinced my father this would be the coolest thing ever if you did this for these kids. And he's got out of bed, and he's like, fine. So about an hour and a half later comes this beautiful picture that's very grainy. You can hardly see it. We are on this. It's really hard to see. It's 2013, okay? Just give some grace. We're on this steps. There's probably 20 of us, some in the cabin, and we're celebrating that my parents brought us McDonald's, right? It was this revelation from God. He provided for us, right? We thought it was the coolest thing. And so this picture, this story has been talked about from camp for years, right? We thought we were the coolest thing, right? But in the end, years later, I still remember that moment, but I also remember that week for how much I was actually taught how to read scripture, how to actually get into the Bible and read the Word of God, because I didn't really know what to do. I just figured you opened it and you hope God spoke to you, right? You can do that as much as you want. I'm sure it can happen. The Holy Spirit, I'm not one to hold back the Spirit of God, right? But I was thankful for the people that came around me and helped me learn, because I was such a young Christian. I didn't know much about the Word of God. I just assumed you should read from Genesis to Revelation in that order, and that's how you should do it. And I did that. I actually did a plan where it was the Bible in 90 days. I could not tell you a word that I remembered from it, because I was just trying to complete a task, right? And then eventually God really brought the Spirit to me to remind me that His Word is so important, and that there's more to it than just a long Bible reading plan that feels like a task. So as we move into this description of what God-given revelation is, I want us to consider how God has used His Word to speak to you in the moments of your life, throughout the good, the bad, the ugly, when you were in Sunday school as a kid, maybe, you know, you had a Sunday school teacher that impacted you greatly, or maybe it was just yesterday that someone said something in the Bible, or even, man, social media posts where someone used a devotion. God's Word is always being used for His glory, hopefully, not always, but we hope it's being used in the right way. And so let's read John chapter 1. Starting in verse 1, we'll go to verse 14 here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not overtake it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came to witness, to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify the light, the true light, which enlightens everyone and was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will, or of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. Let's pray. Lord, as we continue to search your heart through these words you've written to us, may you give us fresh eyes to see what your Spirit is revealing to us in these moments. And may we be attentive to what you may be charging us to do in your midst. We love you, Lord Jesus. And we pray this in your name. Amen. So as we see here is the opening of the Gospel of John, the first chapter of John. This opening is much different from the other Gospels, the Synoptic Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew and Luke begin with the birth of Jesus. Mark goes right into Jesus' ministry. But John starts with a time far before Jesus. It kind of has a feeling of the book of Genesis and has some similar language to the book of Genesis. It's kind of writing and announcing a new creation that is of Jesus. We see just in the first verse, the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That Word is Jesus. So we can see just from this passage, and I think in your notes it says just from John 1:1 in here. It should say just from John 1:1 through 14, the whole passage, not just that one verse. It says we can see that three things are true of it. One, that Jesus is eternal. Two, that Jesus speaks God's words. And three, that Jesus is God incarnate, God in flesh. We see this announcement of our Savior, the Son of God, into the world. The Word became flesh. It took on humanity as God. And this word in Greek is called logos. You've probably heard it many. Logos, speech, word, message, account, reason, doctrine. There's a lot of different ways we can define it. But in this context, like, you can see it as a spoken word of Jesus. Some would say that's rhema. It's a whole other controversial thing sometimes. But it also can mean the written word. But really, it's just a method of communication. So we see that Jesus, therefore, is the written, spoken word of God who reveals himself through all of Scripture. The Word was present in the very beginning, always has been present, and is here in the world. And throughout these verses, as we aren't going to spend as much time between the first four or five verses, I still want to point them out because I think the context really matters. We see that there was a messenger named John that came right before Jesus to prepare the way. And he reminded all the people that the kingdom was coming, that the Word was coming to dwell among them. We see that through verses 6 through 9. Verses 10 through 13, they highlight that God came into the world as Jesus. It kind of fast forward from that far Genesis type language to now, to a future presence of the Scripture. It says that Jesus was rejected by his own people. They didn't accept him. But for all who received him, as it said in verse 12, who believed in their name, he gave power to become children of God. It's almost giving us a small summary of the gospel ahead of time before the book continues on. But we see this verse that you've probably heard often. John chapter 1:14 says, the Word became flesh and lived among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh. God became human, lived among us, revealed his glory and grace and truth. I had a professor one time. He was my philosophy of ministry professor. I went to a Christian school, so he was obviously a Christian, but he said early on in his walk with Jesus, he had a long, hard time trying to understand why Christianity was the way. And this has stuck with me. It's not always perfectly helped anyone, but sometimes I think it's helped them find, some people find peace. It's like, well, what religion do I follow? There's so many religions where God, I guess, loves his people if they do certain things, right? But he said, in all religions, God does not come as his creation except for that of Jesus. God came, his word dwelled among us. God sent himself, his son, Jesus, fully God, fully human, to live and breathe among us. That's the revelation of God. And so these first 14 verses of John affirm the identity of who Jesus is, the power that he carries through the Spirit and through the Father. This affirms that Jesus is the revelation of God, that Jesus is our central figure. If you look throughout the entire Bible, Jesus is there. It starts in Genesis chapter 3 and continues through Revelation of his return. So as we dwell on that, I want us to understand the Bible that we hold in our hands is not to be taken lightly. It's not to be just a book that we allow to sit and dwell on our shelves, because it's worth more than that. It's worth more than collecting dust. See, Scripture, it embodies both the grace and the truth of Jesus. We see that at the end of verse 14 there. It's an incredibly hard line to walk currently, right now in our culture. It's difficult. Politics, controversy, it exists. It's not like we can come to church and act like it doesn't. But as we see the idea of both grace and truth of Jesus, we see this thing we try to walk as Free Methodists called the middle way. John Wesley defined it, one of the key influencers of Methodism. And I like to joke that the middle way just upsets every end of the political spectrum. Because everyone's upset. And I remember talking to a bishop before, and they said, we could say this, and it'll upset this group of people. We'll say this, and it'll upset that group of people. So I guess we might as well upset both of them. Not that they try to do that. But walking that middle way is difficult, because it's that fine line of grace and truth. And in that book of the Free Methodist Way, it kind of defines it as a rejection of rules and regulations of fundamentalism, but it also rejects theological liberalism, which often tries to put man-made ethics over Scripture. Oh, you feel the tension, don't you? It's hard. Because the Bible isn't just meant to be this book of rules to tell you how to live your life and that's it. It's this inspired word of God that brings transformation and a way of holiness. But it's also not something that we should just cast aside and allow the world to continue to influence. Yes, we should be a part of culture and influencing culture. And sometimes the way we present the gospel might change, but the gospel hasn't changed. And so our commitment to, in the tension of both of those things, hopefully, we try to carry with the grace and the truth of Jesus. It's not always black and white. But Jesus was the example of listening to those with love and grace while having the authority of God's word. So may we match that. May we live in that tension. Be uncomfortable with it. It's hard. It's difficult. That's why we need the Spirit of God to give us discernment. I tell you what, it is so hard sometimes not to comment on Facebook. It's so hard not to say things I want to say, because I don't know people all the time. I don't know the situations. I don't know where they've come from. But what I do know is how Jesus would approach it, I hope. I'm not perfect at it. So may we be accountable to each other with this. I always have this system that if I'm going to say something on social media, I vet it with at least three people. One being my wife. Another being, well, actually, one being Jesus. another being my wife, and another being a close, trusted friend, and probably Wick, honestly, who has done this incredible social media blackout of his life that I aspire to become one day. But this grace and truth matters, and we should not cast that aside. It's hard to walk that middle road sometimes, but it's important that we see how Jesus embodies it. Next, Scripture reveals God's promise and faithfulness. His promises and faithfulness are evident from the beginning to the end of the book. We see, like I said, in all 66 books, Jesus present, language of prophecy of the coming Messiah, and still even all the way to Revelation 2 of his return. You have in your hands or in front of you the greatest story alive. You have a book that has gotten people killed and still is to this day. It holds weight. It matters. It's the Word of God inspired. The Holy Spirit working through it. And I hope that we use it wisely. I hope that you find people that can speak into your life, that you can have accountability with, that you can read Scripture with. I hope it doesn't feel overwhelming to pick it back up and be like, what do I do with it? How do I read? That's why we're here. That's why we have pastors that can help guide you in that. We have so many resources, discipleship bands and studies that you can do. We would love to help. Because it doesn't have to feel overwhelming to open your Bible and spend time with the Lord. Because I promise when you see what God has done for his people from Genesis to Revelation, it can change your life. And I remember doing that when I was young. After I got home from camp, I would be on that camp high. Like, I'm so excited about God's word. I'm so excited to go to church. And it would start to fade. And then I remembered that this is something that's an everyday thing. And it's not that you are a bad follower of Jesus if you don't read your Bible every day and go to church. It's that we're allowing the Spirit of God to continue to transform us. And one of those huge ways that he can do that is through his word and through the revelation of Jesus in our lives. I would wake up when I was young at like 2 a.m, and I kept doing this. I was 17 years old. I would wake up at 2 a.m. for some reason. It was so annoying. And now I realize I just do that now because of kids, and it's less annoying because it's my kids that I get to care for. It's not just for any reason. But I was wondering for weeks and weeks. I would wake up at like 2 a.m, and I didn't know why. And it seems weird, but I felt like, okay, God's clearly trying to tell me something. God's clearly trying to speak to me. And I just started writing my thoughts and journaling at 2 a.m. Because what else did a 17-year-old have to do anyways? Maybe go to school. I don't know. But I would write these devotions. It was so weird. I just like, why am I doing this, Lord? Why do you want me to do this? And finally, I kept talking to my friends from camp and understanding that, okay, I guess I need to share these with them. I don't know why. It was so scary. Like, why? I don't like to share my writing with other people. Ugh. Like, I'm going to see how bad of a writer I am, which some of you already do anyways. But it was scary to do that, but God was clearly speaking to me, and that's something that I want us to also see here, that Scripture is the Spirit of God alive. All Scripture is inspired by God and useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the person of God may be proficient, equipped for every good work, as it says in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. The Holy Spirit works in so many ways. It can work through people, places, circumstances. It can work through a burning bush and through wind and storms, whatever it may be. I'm not going to limit the Spirit of God. But I know that in my faith walk, the Spirit of God works through Scripture deeply. It can change lives. And may we not forget the Holy Spirit. There's a whole book that you probably heard of, early 2010s maybe, called Forgotten God by Francis Chan, where he talks about completely how we sometimes forget that the Spirit of God is living inside of us. The same Spirit of God that rose Jesus from the dead lives in you. And so when we read the Bible, when we read his word, when we read Jesus in the Gospels, may we recognize that we are seeing the Holy Spirit move in front of our eyes. And it's a holy God-breathed book that is living. Its words carry God's breath. And the Spirit of God may reveal in us deeply what the Lord is doing in and around our hearts. So I remember learning to pray through Scripture, learning to pray the words of God after that week of camp. It changed my life. And so I took on this posture of prayer in my life because of God's word. And I remember even in my adult life, I remembered that time. I hate flying. It's crazy. The fact that we put people up thousands of feet in the air and say it's safe is insane to me. Like, if you go up on a plane and come back down, you've experienced a miracle. It's scary. And I've gotten over that fear because I was reminded way back when I was learning God's word, how I can go to prayer, how I can read God's word. So I always take a small Bible with me because while turbulence, for those of you that know pilots, I had a pilot tell me that turbulence is like putting your plane in Jell-O and letting it shake. It's safe, right? I don't know how a plane shaking in the air is safe, but okay, it works. And so I remember now, like, I took a trip to Costa Rica. It was a 6-hour trip, and the captain said, we're probably going to be sitting the entire time because there's so much turbulence. I was like, great, cool. And so I read the entire book of John in 6 hours, and I remembered that God just reminded me that in my times of anxiety, in my times of deep distress, just to start praying for people, asking the Holy Spirit, who should I pray for? And so now every time I'm on a plane and it starts shaking, that's what I do, and I feel peace. But I wouldn't have known to do that if I hadn't gone to his word when I was 17. I tell you what, when you can see the Bible, read the Bible, see the revelation of God in front of your eyes for the first time, and really recognize how incredible it can be, it can truly change your walk with Jesus. And so as we are about to head into a song before communion here, I want to stop and challenge you for a minute. We've spent about a month talking about these 5 different things, and some of you have been for all of those things. That's okay. But what is God saying to you? What has he said to you in his word lately? What is the Holy Spirit maybe tugging at your heart to do? Is there a place of these 5 ways, life-giving holiness, love-driven justice, Christ-compelled multiplication, cross-cultural collaboration, or God-given revelation? Is there a way that stuck out to you? Is there something that dwelled on your heart? Maybe it was when Kay was here last week and you heard about the Bible quizzing in Latin America that's happening. Has the Holy Spirit tugged on your heart? Or maybe it was hearing about the soup kitchen in downtown to help serve those who need a meal. Maybe it was the discipleship bands that we've mentioned probably 100 times. To know that we can continue to make disciples and multiply the kingdom. Maybe it was calling you back to holiness. Calling you back to a life with Jesus again. Maybe we're the prodigal sons and daughters that need to run back to the Father. Or maybe is it today even? Is there something in his word that he's recognizing, that you've recognized in your heart that you would like to study, to know more of? Or maybe simply you just need prayer, whatever it is, these altars are open here today. We'd love to pray for you as we enter into communion, and we'll go through that in a minute, but may we worship for a minute. May we recognize that the Spirit of God is moving through his word, through his kingdom, and through so many different ways that we can't even imagine. Because we have this duty as his followers to continue to live this life, not for ourselves, but for the kingdom. And that we can possess and carry the Spirit of God to the whole world, or to across the street too. So let's worship for a moment.
Let's sing together, "Teach Me Thy Way," as a prayer for how we want to respond to God's word this morning.
Few moments, we're going to come to this table. Just want a few housekeeping things. If you're gluten-free, there's a section right over here to the right of me that will have that. We'll have somebody that can bring communion to you if you need it. Just raise your hand and we'll bring them to you. But we believe that all are welcome and invited who call Jesus Lord, and may you come to this table freely. We practice open communion here. We'll have a couple of people down the aisles. And I think that's all the housekeeping things we have. Let's enter into this time. You who truly and earnestly repent of your sins, who live in love and peace with your neighbors, and who intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God and walking in his holy ways, draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament to your comfort, and humbly kneeling, make your honest confession to Almighty God. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. O Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who with great mercy has promised forgiveness to all who turn to you with hearty repentance and true faith, have mercy on us. Pardon and deliver us from our sins. Make us strong and faithful in all goodness, and bring us to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are opened, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who gave in love your only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who by his sacrifice offered once for all and did provide a full, perfect, and sufficient atonement for the sins of the whole world, we now come to your table in obedience to your Son, Jesus Christ, who in his holy gospel commanded us to continue a perpetual memory of his precious death until he comes again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we humbly ask and grant that we, receiving his bread, his cup, as he commanded, in the memory of his passion and death, may we take in the most blessed body and blood. The night of his betrayal, Jesus took the bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in like manner, after supper, he took the cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of this, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many, for the remission of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Amen. I'm going to invite those who are coming to serve communion up. Thank you. this benediction today. Go as those who allow the word to dwell so richly in your hearts that it may change the world for the sake of Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Amen. Go in peace. Have a great week.